You realize that a week from today, it'll all be over. It'll all be over a week from today. The waiting, the off season. Yeah. Okay. Now that I think about that, I didn't really think about that before I started.
Gracious.
It depends on what's in your heart. If your heart's dark, that could have been a really like a real stark way to start the show today. And I didn't mean for it to be.
Whew.
I meant, Zach, the off season is literally over a week from, well, yesterday, but like today's show,
yeah,
a week from now, we're talking about actual practice.
Yeah, no, players reporting Tuesday.
Yeah.
Sounds like we'll hear from Golish and both coordinators on Tuesday. We'll get a little practice window, I think, on Wednesday. I think that's what's in the cards there. So, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
A week from now, it'll all be over.
It'll all be over. You know, one thing we never do on Village Vice is hyperbole. We try never to make too much of anything or too, you know, so.
We pride ourselves in not being dramatic.
Nope. Never.
Level-headed.
Literally always level-headed.
And, we try to remove all biases from anything that we ever talk about.
So before it all comes to an end, before this whole thing is over, before the off season is thrown off a cliff.
Correct.
Can we just stop and appreciate what a refreshing off season this has been? And what made me think of this, I want to give Ferg credit for this. Justin Ferguson, I saw him comment on football's video that they put out on socials yesterday. And it was the Samford Hall clock, the clock tower.
Yes, I saw that. Yes.
And his comment was, and I hadn't thought about this, he's like, you know, the clock tower being featured in this and not like, you know, snow or ice is a nice change.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I sat with that for a minute too.
That's a great take.
Isn't it though? And now look, we were all in on it and we were all like, not in on it, like in on the joke, but like we were all in.
On the freeze warning stuff or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all in on it. But when you think about the way this coach, and now look, Hugh Freeze didn't go to the marketing department and the creative video folks and say, hey, make everything iced out. And like, he didn't do that.
No, but like the football media team is different from the other media teams. Like they work for football. Like that's a concise, like effort and decision in turn, like Freeze didn't stop it. Right.
Right. I also don't know how much he was aware of it. I don't know how much he noticed it.
There's no way he didn't notice it.
Notice and actively care are different things, though.
Well, now got my mind going. Now, even like the Freeze 4 thing, does that have your name on it?
Yeah, it does. It's a cool, refreshing beverage with my name on it.
What's on the other side?
The other side says active wealth management.
Yeah, it does.
Kind of like your hat does.
But even like the Freeze 4 thing, and he leaned into that.
Yeah. That's true. That's a good point. I just like, there are plenty of things that I notice,
like,
but I don't
actively. There's not going to be a group of 5-star players that we label the Golish group, and Alex Golish leans into that.
Well, that's kind of what has been really refreshing.
Should we try it?
Huh?
The Golish group? Like Isaac McNeil, Mycen Johnson Cook, Chance Gilbert.
Well, I like that. I feel like if you were going to do that, you'd do that with the former Bulls. And I would rather call them the Golish group than the, you know.
The South Florida guys.
The South Florida guys. Yeah, like I feel like that's
fair.
More creative, you know.
Yeah.
A little less tired. But, again, I don't want to make too much of it. But I think that's the point. I don't think he has made. I don't get the sense that Alex Golish makes the job of being Auburn football coach about himself. Like the identity of Auburn football moving forward is going to be about Auburn and the identity and the branding isn't tied to one individual.
Right.
It's tied to the head coach. Now, we all know certain positions are more visible and they're the faces of programs, your head coach, your quarterback. Though, you know, Cody Burns is a bit is an influential figure because of his history with Auburn and all that he's accomplished here. And
sure.
But the overarching identity of the program doesn't feel like it's tied to one person. We've seen that work at some places. I don't know that it works at Auburn. I think about Gene Chizik talking about how, hey, this place was great way before we got here, and it'll be great after we're gone. We just got to keep it at a high level.
Yeah, I mean, you think back to, I think Gus is Auburn's best coach. I know there's an argument, and like a lot of people say Pat Dye, and that's fine. But I think you made the same case with Pat Dye, I think. Yeah. I didn't live through the Dye era. But they were like so pro-Auburn, it's crazy. They weren't like, they didn't build things around Gus Malzahn. Gus Malzahn was just Auburn's head coach, and they built things around Auburn football.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it was the same. Marketing was different back then too, and messaging was different back then as well. But
well, what Pat Dye did was what, just as an aside,
please,
after so many years of losing to Alabama and kind of being not an afterthought's too strong of a word, but they were clearly in second place in the state.
Right.
And at the end of Bear Bryant's tenure, Pat Dye came here and said, look, Auburn people don't have to take a back seat to anybody. And it's why the segment of the fan base that remembers that and has any roots to Pat Dye's time as the head coach is so quick to fight back against some of the present day, like Alabama and Georgia dominate and Auburn takes a back seat. No, they've lost more than they've won for the last 20 years. Yeah. But as a program, they don't have to take a back seat to anybody. And that he kind of reinstilled that toughness and that belief. And I do think, like, I don't like comparing any head coach to Pat Dye. Oh, well, he's the next Pat Dye. No, he's the next him. Alex Golish will be the next Alex Golish. But I like the idea of reinstilling in Auburn fans this idea that they don't have to play second fiddle to anybody. They don't have to take a back seat. They can absolutely, we've been at the top before. We can get there again. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, Josh Pate does this thing. I don't know if he does it every year, but he's done it before. Mm-hmm. Where like can't versus haven't.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, can you, is it possible to win a championship somewhere and they just haven't done it yet? Right, like Ole Miss, I think, is a good example. And that was a big one that he did last year where is it impossible to win at Ole Miss or have they just not done it? It's like, they're pretty close. Like, it's probably possible. They just haven't done it.
Yeah.
There's no debate at Auburn. We can win, and we have done it. Yeah. It's just we got to get back there.
Yeah. I think, you know, there was nothing that we had to defend from media days. Really nothing you had to defend or work really hard to put a positive spin on when everybody else was putting a negative spin. What is happening there? Do you have an elephant in the backyard? Yeah, Zach, we heard it. What do you mean, did we hear it? I think Andy in the next office heard it. It sounded like an elephant in the backyard. Or somebody playing a trombone for the first time ever.
I think it was a drill, like the floor shook a little bit.
Or it could have been somebody moving a large table. Or China cabinet.
Yeah.
Do you need to go check on it? Do I need to go solo for a few minutes? Or you?
It's not my house. No.
Good point. Unless I'm forgetting something that's happened in the off season, and I don't think I am.
As far as like drama.
Yeah, like there hadn't been a lot of mental gymnastics that you had to do to feel good about something. You just kind of. You, like every time Alex Golish spoke publicly, you went, man, I like what he had to say. I like this. Yeah. Now we'll see if it translates, but
right,
I like it.
Yeah. Boring in sports a lot of the time is good.
Yeah.
Is good.
Mm-hmm.
Now boring from like lack of production is a different thing.
Right.
But a lot of the times, like, these successful teams, they just do boring.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. I mean, look what Indiana did. Like, yeah. They became interesting because they won.
Right.
But the way they went about it is they just did the right play every single time, and you do that over the course of 60 minutes, and you win the game.
It's not easy, but it is simple, right? That's the phrase. It isn't easy, but it is simple. Win your battle, do your job.
And you be disciplined enough to do it over and over and over again.
Correct.
And it's hard. It like those Alabama teams, when the peak of the Saban, they weren't just they blew people away because they just beat you a little
consistently
bit every single play.
Yeah. And that's the way it is. And I think this is relatable for everybody listening and watching. Whatever it is in life, like, it doesn't have to be flashy. It doesn't have to be flashy or gimmicky. If you just do your job consistently, show up consistently. You don't have to get out of the box with it. Just do your thing consistently. You're going to win.
Right.
You're going to win. And so, anyway, that's, again, doesn't put a point on the scoreboard in September. But this offseason has been really refreshing.
But Brad, he hasn't won a game yet.
I know. He also hasn't lost a game yet.
Yeah, hasn't played.
So, all right. Precision Tune Auto Care, Opelika. I got to brag on Cody and his team at Precision Tune Auto Care. That location, 3798 Pepperell Parkway, is like right in between Auburn and Opelika.
Yep.
Out just after Opelika Road turns into Pepperell Parkway. What a great group. They have an old car of mine right now that, they did all the diagnostics. They ran all the tests. They found exactly what was wrong with it and gave me some suggestions on what to do moving forward. Their team will take care of you. Attention to detail is their specialty. You can still beat the heat with Precision Tune Auto Care. Lots of free tests and analysis and $50 off AC repairs over $300. They're open at 7 o'clock every weekday morning, so you can go take care of your car and then get to work so you can win. Precision Tune Auto Care, Opelika. Let them know that Village Vice and The Barn sent you. Yes. You want to talk active wealth management as well?
Yeah. ActiveWealth.com. You can email me directly, Zach@ActiveWealth.com, Ford@ActiveWealth.com. Ford Stokes is the man. You can meet with him directly as well. Get directly put on his calendar. Look, we want you to win with your money. Calendly.com/Ford Stokes to meet with Ford. Whether it's, asking and getting Ford to help manage your money, manage your wealth, or, we can also help with income in retirement and a ton of incredible products. And look, if they don't really talk a ton about like what it takes to get into retirement, we've got two seminars coming up over the next 2 weeks in the Auburn Opelika area. And if you are interested in that, feel free to reach out. Once again, Zach@ActiveWealth.com. Had a listener reach out yesterday wanting more information. So those seats are filling up fast. We're having to open up a third date, which is awesome. But yeah, be sure to reach out. We Ford always says, you don't want the IRS to be a partner in your retirement. Mm. And the way Ford handles things is that not an issue. We want you to keep your money. So once again, Zach@ActiveWealth.com is how you can email me directly for all of that.
I just got somebody tweet at me. Forgive me. I'm going to call it that probably forever. A good downtime podcast question. So it's one to get in before the whole thing ends. How many times do you use a towel before you throw it in the laundry basket?
No clue.
It's a lot?
My wife handles. Sometimes I have a new towel there and sometimes I don't. That's she cleans the towels. So I don't know.
So you don't notice how long, before there's a different towel?
I don't know, Brad. That's not something I think about.
That doesn't surprise me about you, though, at all. You don't have time to notice things like, oh, that's a new
towel.
I
would guess 3 or 4 times. I would guess she probably does it once or twice a week.
But now y'all change the sheets once a week, right?
She changes them twice a week.
Twice a week. I bet the towels.
She washes sheets all the time.
My guess would be towels are in the same workload. Maybe not the actual load of laundry.
With towels, in my mind, is like what towels are cleaning is is already clean.
Yeah, true.
So,
but if they're hanging there wet, I don't know that you just want them to air dry more than about 2 to 4 times, maybe.
I tell you what, if that was my responsibility, it would not be 2 or 3 or 4 times. It would be more than that.
It'd be like, it'd be more than that? Oh, you'd use it more times. You'd use it more times. Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably go 4 or 5 times before I'll switch it out.
Seems reasonable.
To your point, though, you're clean when you're drying off.
Yeah.
Like if that towel's getting dirty, you didn't do a good job in the shower.
That's right. Finish the job. Right. Finish the rep. Do what you said you were going to do.
Yeah, and be who you say you are.
Stanky self.
Be clean. Be who you say you are. That's it. Right. That's all you have to do. Okay.
That's right.
What are the actual position battles during fall camp? What starting spots will actually be determined starting next week?
Corner.
Okay.
Offensive tackle.
Both corners? Or the other corner opposite Andre Jordan?
Yeah, I think Dre's a starter.
Yeah, I do too.
So, Rayshon, this isn't part of a bid, actually answering the question. Gavin, Jenkins, I think Blake Woodby's in that conversation.
Uh-huh.
And I guess my guess is they already have an idea for the safety spot, but
yeah.
I don't think we know who the starting two safeties are. Like, I think we've got a guess on who the starting safeties are. Offensive tackle. I think we know who they are. I don't think we know what side they're on.
Okay. All right. So Simmons and Ramil, but who's left and who's right?
Yeah.
Guard. Don't you think guard is a big position battle, or do you think so? Guard doesn't typically move the needle, but it's an important spot.
Well, so Plaz was there at left guard all spring. Skinner was there at right guard all spring. Who's the competition with? Who are you saying could start?
I don't know. Well, that's my question, is maybe it's not a position battle, but like, is Cale Ellis or Jacoby Ward, are those guys in the mix at all? Do you go, is McManus in the conversation to start? Okay.
Who?
McManus.
I think that would be a massive, like, I think he would have needed a massive summer to do that.
Maybe.
I'd love it. I mean, it's best case for Auburn if one of the younger guys wins the job, but I just don't see that.
Okay.
Happening. Right. Running back two, I think, is fascinating.
Yep, I do too.
Like, feel good about Cobb, but he's kind of called Bryson Washington out twice this offseason. What does that mean? Maybe tight end too. We feel good about Jake Johnson, but is it John Eccles or is it the general Arliss Boardingham?
What about edge and end? Do you think those are cut and dry as to who opens the season in those positions? Is it Womack? Is it Smith?
I think it's Smith at edge, and I think it's Womack at end. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good. Do you think those guys are pushed at all for starting reps?
No, I think the rotation's interesting, though. Like, what do you do behind them? Does a J.J. Falk try to make a run for it?
Yeah.
I think Chris Murray's interesting.
Me too.
Because, you know, in the spring, Gullish did this whole thing of, like, you're going to have to earn your way back or whatever. I hope that's done. That'd be nice if that was done.
Yeah. Position battle. You know, it's interesting going into it because you do have a lot of spots that we think are pretty, they feel really good about.
Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with like market share.
Yeah.
Like I think your two starting backers, assuming nickel is base at this point. Like you feel good about X and Melendez, but if you're Bryce Diaz and if you're DeMarcus Riddick, how much into that rotation can you get?
Yeah. Everybody's trying to make a good impression in fall camp. You want to make a good impression in the opener. The last thing that I have for today's episode is I intentionally didn't use the word. just for you. I'm trying.
No, it's I don't think you've done that before. So that was it just threw me for a loop when you called it a program yesterday.
Just watching my programs. Yeah. Just going to get in front of the TV and watch the news hour on.
Why you gotta talk like that? Why are you talking like that?
Why do you not like it when I talk like that?
It's uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable.
You like popsicles?
Stop, Brad. What are you doing? What is that?
You know what that is. It's the guy from Family Guy.
You know they did programs a lot in the 1940s.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. Hang on. 1 second. We'll get there. Gosh. I don't do it for a week and I lose the setting.
The magic.
Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. We have a very important episode of the program for you today. Zach Blackerby tells you the best season debut he can remember in Auburn football history. Yes, indeed. That's coming up on today's program. Okay.
Oh, it's so funny.
Thanks.
It just doesn't get old. the best season opener?
The best individual performance in a season opener that you can remember. You take more than 20 seconds, I'll talk like the guy from Family Guy again.
So the individual is throwing me off a little bit.
Sure.
Because the game in recent memory is Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks to Williams in the final seconds.
I mean, Bo had a heck of a debut. That was his season debut. It was his collegiate debut. It's a memorable individual performance, not just for the touchdown pass. Remember, he converted a fourth and like three on a scramble on that same drive before the pass.
Yeah, that was crazy. Man, what a simpler time. Was Washington 17?
Washington was 18.
Who do we open against in 17? Was it like a
Georgia Southern at home?
Kerryon went off in that game, didn't he?
I think Kerryon had a good game. It wasn't the best game off. Like, it took a long time to get the offense going in that game.
I remember that being a concern.
Yeah, like the first quarter was, what are we doing? This is last year all over again.
Yeah.
The slow start.
And then the year before that. That was like before we really figured out everything to do with him.
But he still had two runs in that game against Arkansas State that were like, oh, this is different.
Yeah, but we were like, it was Arkansas State.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think I'm going with Bo Nix.
Yeah. Okay.
Canella against Washington. I don't remember if like it was more than just that one play though where he scored. But that stuck with me.
It sticked with you. Kenny Irons had a great opener against Washington State in 2006.
Okay.
I believe it was. He had a long touchdown in the second half, had big numbers in that game.
Mm-hmm.
The best season opener I will submit to you in Auburn football history came in 1985 against Southwestern Louisiana, which is now just Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns.
Oh, okay.
Bo Jackson rushed 23 times for 290 yards. And how many touchdowns? Do you have five touchdowns? Just a ridiculous season opener.
That's insane. I'm trying to think if stuff like that happened now. Like, how would we react to it all? It's like what if Jeremiah Cobb in a few weeks just like 20 touches for
what if
180 yards or something? Like, we would be so obnoxious.
What if in the first quarter, Jeremiah Cobb had touchdown runs of 7, 47, and 76 yards?
We'd be screaming Heisman.
In the first quarter. In the first half of that game, Bo had over 200 yards. In the first quarter alone, he had 180 yards on six carries. The LA Times has an article that you can find. It's a write-up of that game. You know what I thought was most interesting?
What?
It was a new offense. They moved away from the wishbone and to the I formation. They were running the I set with Bo. Pat Dye was like, we've got a Heisman potential, a Heisman caliber running back.
Yeah.
Let's run out of the I, and let's just see how much he can go. And he went and went and went. Kicked off the Heisman campaign. 23 carries, 290 yards, and four scores. It is the best individual season debut, I would submit, in Auburn football history.
It's an incredible answer. It's an incredible answer. I don't know why you even asked me. You should have just told me that.
Well, I wanted to set up. I wanted to set it up. And I knew that, like, you know.
I got another one.
Okay.
That could rival that.
Oh, really?
Jackson Arnold against Baylor.
All right. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, but it was a really good debut. Because when that game ended,
Oh, we're just going to run. We're going to run. Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Didn't he have over 100 yards? He have over 100 on the ground from the quarterback position?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I thought.
But I remember being like, oh, okay, cool. That's what he did against Alabama the year prior. Like, just run him. Yeah. And then we're like, let's don't do it again.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It makes no sense.
Yep. I didn't mean to pick at a sore spot to end the
No, I brought it up. It's my fault.
Yeah.
It's my fault.
All right. Yeah, what if? What if Byron Brown passes for three and runs for another against Baylor here in a little more than a month in Atlanta?
Why not? Why wouldn't
because
he?
Because, like, look, Auburn put up 70 on Alabama A&M two seasons ago. And, yeah, like, I even tweeted out, like, oh, this looks different. Sure, it did look different. It just wasn't sustainable. And we should have known it wasn't sustainable. You do that against Baylor? Different feel.
Yeah, if Auburn found a way to put up 40 against Baylor,
mm-hmm.
that'd be that would heal something inside.
I agree.
All right. Come hang out post with show. Us at the post show. Yeah, post show's coming up. Be sure to become a member. We'd really, really appreciate it. More folks joining every day. Thank you so much. You get access as a member, you get access to every Village Vice post show, which is Monday through Thursday. You get access to Afternoon Delight on video, which is every day, Monday through Friday. You get access to the video version of Coffee and Cornbread that Christian has done an incredible job. I do think he's taking a few days off because he's traveling, yeah. But that'll be back to normal next week, as well as me and Christian doing drink reviews and film breakdowns and all sorts of stuff.
Come to the post show
on YouTube memberships in the Auburn space than us. So please come and check that out.
Come hang out on today's post show and watch the walls just fall down.
I'm going to get answers to what's happening in the post show.
I hope so.
So if you're dying to know what's happening in this random house in Ohio, come to the post show. That does it for today's show.
Thanks, everybody, for being a part of it. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.